Friends, grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you this morning for inviting me and my bride of 41 years to come and be with you. Belen, would you rise, please? She looks good, doesn't she? Hallelujah. It is good to be here. This church has a lot of remembrances and experiences that we have shared with others. As I was thinking about our time together, I went back into my memory in the books that I have read, and your first pastor, James Demarest, was instrumental in the founding of the church that I used to pastor in New Brunswick, New Jersey, the Sedan Street Reformed Church, which was founded in 1884. Jack White was another one of your pastors, and his widow, Ella Campbell, for the last 10 years has been my spiritual director. And so we spent a lot of times together, and it's been a wonderful and a rich experience. Ed Mulder was also your pastor for a while. And when I used to work at the New York office, he was my boss for 10 years when I was a director of Hispanic Ministries. And then John Norton came and was your pastor also. And we had meetings in this place, and one day we were in the fellowship hall, and he pulled me aside. He said, why don't you come and work with me here and be my associate? You'll do the Latino ministry, and I'll stay here. And we had this interesting conversation. Well, nothing came out of that. But every once in a while when we meet, he would say, what if? What do you think would have happened if you would have come? So John and I continue to have this wonderful relationship. So it is good to be back. It is good to worship in this wonderful sanctuary. And it's good to be with you, the people of God. Today, I serve the Lord and the Reformed Church in America as their supervisor for mission programs in East Asia, meaning Taiwan and Japan. And then I also have responsible for starting new programs in Europe. And so I'm dealing with programs like Turkey, as well as new programs in Romania. And God has been graciously working in those areas of the world in the midst of the conflict that you hear, in the midst of all the uprisings that go on. I can verily say to you that the Church of Jesus Christ continues to plug along, making great advances in allowing others to know that God cares for them and that He has prepared a body of believers to be His hands and His feet, His heart, His eyes, His ears, so that we might love the world, or that God might love the world through us. So if you are part of the body of Christ, you have been tremendously commissioned as the legs and as the feet in the body of Christ in this community as well as in this world. So it is good for me to be with you on this Mission Sunday, because one of the wonderful things about speaking about missions is that you and I have a great task. A couple of months ago, we sent Jeffrey and Chelsea Lampin to a small town, Lupin, in Romania, and they are now in language study, preparing themselves to work with the Roma youth, a youth at risk in Romania. But they are enjoying learning a new language and just becoming familiar with Romania. One of the wonderful things about missionaries is when you begin to see that they love the people that they're serving, then you know they're in the right place. If they complain too much about the place that they're serving, let's get them out of there, right? But you got to love the people that God places into your heart. We live in a very fragmented world. I guess you already know that. Every time we look at the news, we see another uprising. It is believed that we are just in the beginnings of the third intifada in Israel, Palestine. And so that is a cause of concern for us. In the midst of this fragmented world, God is speaking to us about how we, the body of Christ, can become agents of healing. And that is the theme of my conversation with you this morning. You heard both passages that Pastor Roland read this morning. Let me read to you from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord with me. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was pressing for him to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not, because of the crowd, they went up to the roof, lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. It is with joy that we come before you, our Heavenly Father, who have given us your word, the bread of life. We are reminded by James that we have been reborn through the truth of your word. And so we pray that this morning the truth of your word will also grip our hearts, that we may be bold in the obedience of this word, that we may be to the glory of your name. Lord Jesus, help us not only to be hearers, but also doers of the word. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Throughout the mission history of the Reformed Church in America, we have followed a wonderful pattern that was set out by Jesus Christ. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness of the people. And so those were the agendas of Jesus. He preached, he taught, but he also healed. And I want to focus this morning with you on that last part of the healing ministry of Jesus. The four Gospels record the healings of Jesus. And the writers of the epistles make reference to Jesus' healing, even as they also speak about Jesus' signs and wonders. And so it is necessary to say that this phrase of Jesus' ministry had been prophesied. The book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 2, says that as the people were wondering what was going to happen next, here is Malachi saying to them, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Malachi was encouraging those who were expectant of the Messiah who was coming, but somehow they did not see the fruition of their expectations. But he wanted to encourage them, do not give up. Do not give up. "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise." But look at the way he says it. He will rise with healing in his wings. It was the prophet Isaiah who spoke greatly about the healing ministry of the coming Messiah, the suffering servant. He spoke about it many times, especially as it related to what Jesus was going to do. In Isaiah 28, 18, "In that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see." In chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, "The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy." In chapter 42, verse 7, he adds, "Open the eyes of the blind, free captives from prison, and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." And then at the end of chapter 53, a chapter that we know so well, he says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This is a background of the passage that I just finished reading to you in Luke. In that passage of Luke, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal," chapter 5, verse 17. You know the story. There's a paralytic, and his friends wanted him to meet Jesus. And they thought it would be great if we could get him out of his bed and take him to Jesus. And that's what they did. They They called him from his bed, and maybe in his bed, and they took him to Jesus, but they could not get in because there were so many people. The door was packed, the windows were packed, and so they, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. So what they decided to do is climb the roof and begin to take out whatever roof material was there, and they lowered that paralytic man to Jesus. But the verse says, and the power of God, of the Lord was present for him to heal. Here's the interesting part about this passage. Not that the friends lowered the man so that Jesus would touch him. Not of their efforts. The emphasis of Luke is that the power of God was present in Jesus to heal this man. And not this one alone. If you look at Luke, only in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 25, he says that Jesus cast out an evil spirit out of the man who was in the synagogue. And then the same chapter, verse 30, Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever, and the fever left her. Chapter 1, verse 34, that same evening it reads, Jesus healed all sick and demon-possessed. In that same chapter, verse 42, a man was healed of leprosy. Chapter 2, verse 12, a paralytic man was able to walk again. Chapter 3, verse 5, a man's withered hand was healed and he could use it again. And chapter 3, verse 10, states that he healed many, including people with evil spirits. Wherever Jesus went, somehow the crowds were attracted to Jesus. Now, cynically, we might say, well, they had heard that Jesus multiplied their bread, right, and the fishes. I'm thinking in Spanish and speaking in English, so sometimes my tongue gets up top. They may have been thinking that he was going to feed them again. Hey, you know, we all like a free meal, no? I live in the Grand Rapids area. And the Dutch people say there, we never say no to a free meal. And so some of the folks there might have been wondering if Jesus was going to multiply the fish and the loaves again. They were probably looking to see what he would do that would mesmerize them and just really be impressed. Luke singles out something interesting in the life of Jesus, is that wherever Jesus went, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Wherever Jesus went, the power of God was there to heal. Be it in a synagogue, be it with his disciples in a boat, or in a home as a guest, the place where Jesus went immediately became a holy place. A place where the impossible became possible. Where the sick were made well, the lost were found, where the power and the love of God was made visible. In today's story, we see it very well. Not only are they able to lower the paralytic down to Jesus, Jesus looks at him, and the first thing that Jesus says is, your sins are forgiven. And that created a stir in the hearts and the minds of the hearers, especially those leaders of the law. Why would he say to this man, your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. And he understood what was happening through them, or what was going through them. And so he says to them, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. What does the Bible say? Immediately he got up, stood in front of them, and went home praising God. Now, when I read the Bible, I use my imagination a lot. Not just because I'm Latino, it's just that I'm weird. But I would love to put myself inside that event. And I begin to ask myself, how would I have reacted if I was in the crowd and I see these guys lowering this man And all of a sudden, I see Jesus say to him, your sins are forgiven. I do not know what would go through your mind, but I know what would go through my mind. If Jesus is able to see the sins of this man and knows that he's a sinner, what would he say of me? Can you imagine that? Wow. I mean, it would be a shocker to most of us. He saw through me. Not only did he see through me, but he knows me. He knows that I have sinned, that I have lied, that I have cheated, that I have deceived, that I've offended God in a multiple of ways. And then he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, not only does guilt become a reality in that moment, but there's something that happens afterwards for this young man. Your sins are forgiven. Now, see, that's the part that I like. I don't like the first part where Jesus knows my sins. I like the part where he says, your sins are forgiven. That I could leave that place knowing that I am forgiven by God. That which became a stumbling block for my between my relationship with God is no longer there. That I am forgiven. In my devotions this morning, I was reading the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And there's John the apostle is doing a doxology. And he says, he who loved us and removed our sin through his blood and made us a kingdom of priests that we might be able to serve his Father and God. To him be honor and glory forever. Did you hear that? He removed our sins through his blood. Something happened to that young man. And what happened is what Luke says, and the power of God was present for him to do what? To heal. Now, the religious leaders did not appreciate the fact that Jesus was out there forgiving sins, because that was only a prerogative that belonged to God. And so they, not only did they doubt it, they just did not want to hear about it. But you know what? The Bible says that Jesus did heal sins, forgave sins, and healed that young man. He got up and went home. As I mentioned at the beginning, that in our communities, what we're seeing today around us is fragmentation, violence, and war. We see communities dealing with racial strife, refugees leaving their ancestral homes, seeking a new place to live. What we see are the women and the children who suffer the most during natural disasters, economic collapses and war, and even tribal warfare. God has placed the church to be the means of healing to come to our communities. When Jesus was present, the power of the Lord was also present for him to heal. John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that when you and I believe in Jesus, we receive the power to be called the children of God. And so as children of God, you and I are expressions of Jesus Christ in the world. We are the body of Christ. Our denominational statement says that the Reformed Church in America is a fellowship of congregations called by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the very presence of Christ in the world. We have been empowered by the presence of Christ in our lives and in the world. That means that wherever you and I stand, Jesus is there. Wherever you and I go, God walks with us. It doesn't matter where you're at, in ShopRite or even in Costco, at the hospital, on the street. Wherever you're at, God walks with you. And as members of the body of Christ, the power of God is in us to bring healing. You and I become the heart, the eyes, the hands, and the feet of Jesus. The Reformed Church in Croatia today is feeding a lot of people that are going through them, through the country, as they attempt to get to Germany. Though the government of Hungary has put quite a number of restrictions and now closed some of the borders, the Reformed Church in Hungary is taking in refugees, feeding them, clothing them, helping them to become the people that God wants them to be. Through the Association of Protestant Churches in Turkey, we are helping them to reach 2 million refugees in eastern Turkey. And through the work of the Waldensian Church in Italy, refugees are being helped in the integration into Italian society because they want somebody who will be the hands and the feet of Jesus who would allow them to be themselves. Let me end by saying that you and I do not have to go to Europe to be healing agents and agents of change in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our communities right around us are in need of people of faith that are willing to share the grace of Jesus with others. Yes, we can feed, we can give water, we can shelter, we can advocate for the needy and the lost. We also need to show compassion for them to the point that their cause becomes our cause, and then it moves us into action. I remember in the early 80s when Pastor Ephraim Felix was the pastor in the Hispanic ministry that you had here at Second Reformed. And he attempted to go out into the community and speak to people. God has graciously given us not only the love, but the tools so that you and I can reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. You heard it in the songs that were sung. You heard it in the scriptures that were read, especially the one in Isaiah. There is so much hurt in our communities. But here is what Jeremiah says, Lord, heal me, and I will be healed. And when God heals you, you can become an agent of healing to others. God's grace is in you. And the power of God is in you to heal. Use the gifts that the Lord has given to you. Let's pray. Grant us, O God, this very day, the grace of your Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able not only to hear, but to treasure your word in our hearts. We pray that after that, Lord, you would open our eyes, close the eyes of our flesh, and open the eyes of our spirit and of our understanding, that as we look at others, we may see Jesus Christ present. And may we be bold, O Lord, to offer ourselves as your servants, as the members of your body, who have been charged and commissioned to do your will. Receive us, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.